from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. A proposed homeless navigation center in San Francisco's Embarcadero community has sparked opposition from residents, as well as dueling online fundraisers in support of and against the center. The building plans are part of Mayor London Breed's goal to create 1,000 new shelter beds by 2020. But nearby residents fear the center's placement in their neighborhood could bring more crime. Then at 9:30, Felicia Marcus was chair of the State Water Resources Control Board until recently, and she'll join us to talk about California's water challenges and how the state is handling them. It's all next after the news. Welcome to this morning's forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Residents of San Francisco's waterfront neighborhoods are pushing back on a plan by Mayor London Breed to build a 225-bed navigation center for the homeless on the Embarcadero. In public meetings about the proposal, neighbors have expressed safety concerns in putting a center in a housing-dense, tourist-heavy area. A coalition of residents called Safe Embarcadero for All launched an online fundraising campaign for legal costs to block the center, and a counter-coalition supporting the navigation center also launched quickly out fundraising the opponents. We're going to talk about it this segment, and joining us to do that is Wallace Lee, a resident of San Francisco's South Beach neighborhood and also a member of the Safe Embarcadero for All, the coalition opposing the navigation center. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Also good to have Jennifer Friedenbach with us, Executive Director for the Coalition on Homelessness. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you both. And Wallace Lee, let me begin with you, because this has gone into a kind of GoFundMe race. Lots of money being raised, and by both sides. You wanted legal representation mainly, I think, for your GoFundMe, and now you've been outpaced by the other side, thanks to people like Mark Benioff. Let me go right to the chase, though. You're concerned about safety. I mean, in fact, they say safer. Your side says safe. Public safety and homelessness often translates into NIMBYism. We don't want homeless people here because we're concerned about crime, and we don't want it in our neighborhood.
Well, let me start with the GoFundMe. We don't view it as a competition. I think it's great that a lot of people are interested in this issue and are raising money for the Homelessness Coalition. It's not a race between us to see who can raise the most. In fact, we don't really even want to raise money for a legal opposition, but the neighborhood feels backed into a corner by the speed that this is moving and the lack of information coming from the city. The neighborhood is concerned about crime, and it's concerned about the potential for violence and the potential for drug use. And if I could speak a little bit about that, academic studies have shown that homeless shelters are associated with an increase in crime. And in Vancouver, there was a study showing that proximity to a homeless shelter increased property crime by somewhere around 80% in the vicinity.
And those are those winter shelters in Vancouver you're talking about specifically.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And actually, there is a student paper from a student from UC Berkeley done specifically on San Francisco's navigation centers. And she did a survey and found that for every one person who said, a neighbor of a navigation center who said that crime decreased after the navigation center opened, three people said that crime increased after the navigation center opened. So it's those statistics that concern the neighborhood. And we'd like to, so far there's been very little engagement with the city on how this navigation center is going to be.
I think you feel it's gone too fast, and you haven't been really engaged in this. I understand that's right. Part of your point of view, too. Just looking at something that Jeff Kaczynski put out, though, and I wonder what your response is to it. He's director of the San Francisco Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing. He says, I want to point out that some people believe there are not homeless individuals in the area around the proposed site on the seawall. We recently did a count and found that there were nearly 180 people sleeping outdoors in the surrounding neighborhood. The new facility will enable us to bring those individuals indoors and help them to move beyond homelessness. So you were talking about 225 beds. The mayor has already said maybe we should have a compromise. We'll talk about it. We can perhaps reduce the number of beds. But if there are 180 people who are homeless out there now, then you've got the problem in the neighborhood, don't you? At least take them in and give them services.
I would disagree with that count. The East Cut CBD does a count every night of the homeless population, unhoused population in the neighborhood. and it's usually between 9 and 16 people. And they do a count of all the streets in the CBD. And I also disagree with the notion that this center is meant to help the community, help the neighborhood, because I looked at the Dog Patch Navigation Center, which was a previous navigation center built by the city. And one of the things in the, they have this memorandum of understanding between all these city agencies. One of the things in there, it says they're going to clear the encampments near Islays Creek and Warm Water Cove, which are right next to the Dog Patch Navigation Center. But now they're using encampments in those two places as a reason to build this new navigation center. So if a navigation center right next to two big encampment areas hasn't helped, why build one further away to help?
Well, this would be the eighth navigation center. There are seven. And, of course, as we said earlier, Mayor Breed plans on extending homeless services even more. Let me go to you, Jennifer Friedenbach. I mean, you've kind of framed this as a class battle in some ways. Privileged people are not necessarily as open as they should be to homeless.
Yeah, I mean, the optics on this are really startling. And so you have basically of, you know, wealthy waterfront landowners that are battling destitute San Franciscans whose housing status is literally killing them for who has the right to public land. But I want to go back to these studies things because this is a really twisted interpretation of the Berkeley student study, which actually found that that there was not an impact on crime in the area. And if you look at the study, you look at the stats from the crime reports, that there was no difference. They looked at two different sites. One, there was no difference, and one, crime went down, and there was some up and down things going on there, but no correlation with the opening of opening up of a nav center.
We should be reminded of the fact that this was an undergraduate paper.
It was just a graduate paper, and the thing that he's doing is that he's taking the people who were asked whether they felt it was crime had gone up or down or stayed the same, and he's disregarding the people who said it was the same. And you know, and that is a real thing. Like, if you don't think that there made any difference on crime, that was the response that people had, and kind of. You know, so it was the very minority of people, about the quarter of the people, that their perception was it increased, but the data did not show that. So the other thing is, it's important, you know, if you look at other studies, like you look at, you know, there was the Guardian did an article about 10 months ago on a study of two cities that basically the presence of, and these weren't shelters, but basically organized homeless villages, that the presence was not accompanied by a rise in crime in the neighborhoods. And in fact, crime was likelier to go down. And so I think one of the problems here, and I just want to say is that, you know, I think what this demonstrates is that even in San Francisco, you know, you can have this situation where bigotry ends up being developed, and people can basically, you know, it's kind of the classic development. You know, you look at the vitriol, you know, endangering babies, molesting children, all this kind of stuff, speaking out from a place of prejudicial fear against an entire class of people and making assumptions about safety simply because someone is poor. And, you know, this is not unique. In every area where we've had homeless shelters going in, people respond in a very similar way. Now, the vitriol might be a little bit nastier in this situation in terms of how they're talking about it. But the experience in other neighborhoods is that folks start off opposing it. We can look at South Van Ness, or we can look at Dog Patch. And then as the, you know, as time goes on and as conversations with the, you know, the concerns are addressed by the city, et cetera, once the centers go in, the neighbors are really happy with the results. And so
let me put this aside for a moment, though, and cut to another, I think, singularly important question, and that is, does it make sense to put a navigation center in a tourist hub? I mean, let's put the neighborhood aside for now, NIMBY questions and class privileges and everything. This is a tourist hub you're talking about.
Why does that make a difference? I don't understand that. If the frame is that because you're poor and because you're without housing, there's something wrong with you, that you're somehow, because you're disproportionately made up of people of color, disproportionately made up of people with disabilities, that somehow you're going to present some negative you know, presence in a community, then putting it really anywhere is a problem, including a tourist area. But, you know, we're just basically talking about people who have a fundamental right to sleep, that have nowhere to sleep, who are in a lot more danger sleeping outside. a lot more danger because you don't have a door to lock. And we're talking about, and your health is deteriorating and you're losing literally 25 years off your life expectancy. Bringing them in for a place to rest because we have a severe crisis here, an emergency. Look, everybody is rolling up their sleeves and addressing this crisis. We had this massive campaign with Prop C. It was incredibly successful. Now we have Mayor Breed on board. We have,
Now I mentioned the GoFundMe campaign. Yeah. You've got more money to educate people, and that's what you want to do with a lot of those funds, right?
Right. We had 1,600 people donated to support the shelter versus 269 on the other side. And it's really important to point out that their average donation on the people opposing the NAF Center, which is very cynical to do a GoFundMe to oppose a homeless shelter, by the way, which is why the response was so big, was $400 versus our $80 average donation. 1,600 people donated versus their 269. 66% of their of their 269 donors were anonymous versus 10% of ours. And so you look at this and what it's saying, I think what it's demonstrating really is San Francisco is tired of this kind of attitude. We are all collectively rolling up our sleeves and working hard to address a crisis. And we folks just got to stop standing in the way of that.
All right. I'm not going to stand in the way of our callers because I know they want to weigh in here. And let me invite them to do that now. If you're listening to us, you may want to weigh in and you may want to join us and let us know what your thoughts are on this and this proposed homeless navigation center in the Embarcadero community opposing it, some of them opposing it, dueling fundraisers. Jennifer Friedenbach here speaking for the Coalition on Homelessness and Wallace Lee speaking for the residents of the South Beach neighborhood. If you'd like to add your voice, we would welcome it. Our toll-free number is available. The number to call is 866-733-6786. Like to hear your thoughts. Again, you can join us now at the toll-free number. It's a half-hour segment, so if you want to get on the line, do get on the line. It's 866-733-6786 to call us. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. And before we go to calls and emails, let me ask each of you quickly to address maybe in a couple sentences or so the question of what the impact of the navigation centers has been around the existing ones. Our callers may want to weigh in on that too. Wallace, let me go to you first.
Well, the impact of the existing navigation centers is that they increase crime around where they are. They attract homeless encampments. If you look at any of the navigation centers, you'll see multiple tents outside. Even the one in the dog patch, which is in a very industrial area, you'll see tents outside.
You're saying the experience from the navigation centers is more crime and more homelessness visibly and optically and so forth. And Jennifer, yes. You say what in response?
That's just factually not true. And, you have to look at, crime statistics on numbers on, all this kind of stuff. You just you can't just like make something up and then pretend like that's reality. I mean, when people don't have a place to sleep, then they're sleeping outdoors. When they have a place to sleep, they're going indoors. If you want to solve the issue of getting folks off the streets, then you have to have solutions. And solutions mean you're moving people into shelters. We have 1,400 people on our shelter wait list every night, 1,400 people, mostly people who are elderly, mostly people with disabilities that have no place to sleep. And we have to move towards, building housing. We have to move towards for homeless people. We have to move towards creating a larger shelter system because we have a disproportionately large number of people are unsheltered. What that means from them from a health perspective, I already talked about. But
this is going to be a couple sentences really to talk about.
Yeah. And so it's really if you're saying you don't want solutions, then that's saying that you want people to be sleeping outside in your neighborhoods. I mean, if you want solutions, then you got to support solutions.
Let me read some comments before I go to our callers. Kelly writes, I lived in the East Cut until recently, and I would see 5+ homeless people sleeping just on the alley where I lived on a night, and that's just who I could see. I saw many more elsewhere in the area. If the East Cut organization cited sees only 10 a night in the entire neighborhood, they are trying not to look. Another listener tweets, these are not really dueling funds, and we said that that's probably not the way to frame it, but there's a lot of money involved in this already. This listener says one fund will be donated to the Coalition on Homelessness. I'm sure Jennifer Friedenbach could make good use of it. We've already alluded to that. A second fundraiser does attempt to shame property owners who feel like they have no voice. Let's go to our calls, and let's begin with San Francisco caller Michelle joining us. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question about the aspect of homelessness related to crime. Last week, I was driving in the city coming onto the Bay Bridge around Bryant Street. And as you know, probably there's a number of homeless folks who are hanging out there or live there. And I had one that was coming down the road, the on-ramp, I should say, and in stop traffic, literally started attacking my car with a bag that presumably had some kind of rock because they were going all over the place. And then he actually made his way into my car, and I had to fend myself off. And this was at 4:30 in the afternoon or 5 or something in daylight traffic and in my car. So I'm curious what your guests would have to say about the relation that it just isn't crime. I mean, that there isn't any link to crime. There is. And this, my story is not unique. I've talked to a number of people who have also had, who have been assaulted. I understand that there's an issue with homelessness. I think we need to be compassionate and proactive in terms of dealing with it. But there is an issue if I'm driving in my car and I'm attacked by a homeless person.
Michelle, I thank you for the call. I appreciate your call. And Wallace Lee, she's talking directly to the kind of thing you're hearing from residents in your group.
Yeah, and I think it's important. I think she mentioned it's important to point out that homelessness is not all homeless people are criminals. In fact, I think it's probably a very small percentage. But the fact of the matter is that having 225 homeless people will bring more crime, more problems to the area that don't exist there right now. And I just want to push back a little bit against the notion that this comes out of prejudice against the poor. I don't think that's true at all. I'm next door neighbors to the Delancey Street Foundation. The people there are not well off. They have problems that then they're seeking treatment for it. And I think they're great neighbors. I support them. And the idea that the problem with having a homeless shelter is having...
How do you know the people in the Navigation Center wouldn't be great neighbors, too?
Based on the evidence that I've seen.
All right. And I'm going to get to more callers. And a lot of people want to join us. But quickly to you, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Tourists bring in money. I'm reading a comment from a listener, Nina. That revenue supports housing initiatives. People need to feel safe when on vacation and visiting the city. No other city has navigation centers in the middle of the tourist sector.
Yeah, I mean, again, I just, you know, going back to the caller, Michelle, and I'm really sorry that that happened to you. And, you know, that's does not sound like a fun experience and sounds really traumatizing. You know,
sounds dreadful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we have a situation where when folks are living outdoors, everything that happens out in the public view. So we know we have a really serious problem, just as an example, with domestic violence in San Francisco. Most of that violence happens behind closed doors and we don't see it. Oftentimes, when things happen in San Francisco, because of the demonizing of homeless people that's happened over time as a class, and it's happened by policymakers, et cetera, there is presumptions about the class of people, and there is an assumption that when bad things happen, it's a homeless person that did it.
Can I just add something here? Because, you know, I've been to navigation centers and I've talked to people there and so forth. When you talk about them as a class, something in me responds to that, because we're talking about people from all class backgrounds, really, aren't we?
Yeah, it's
can
really.
Can you really speak about them as a class of people?
Well, you can in the way that, you know, we've, you know, I mean, in some folks think about it as this creation of a permanent underclass in the United States, where in San Francisco, you can't, you know, in terms of creating political wedges like Donald Trump does, you know, against immigrants and against Muslims.
No, I realize they're a targeted group. I just wonder about the advisability of calling them a class of people.
That's you're absolutely right in terms of it's a very diverse group of people.
And a group that changes. I mean, sometimes they get out of homelessness and they go back to it.
Right,
so
but they have something in common, and that is that they're poor. They don't have access to accumulated wealth. They don't have anything to fall back on in times of trouble, and they don't have enough money to afford housing. And so that is where there is a similarity. Beyond that, you know, making generalizations, which, you know, the opponents of this have done over and over again, is really problematic.
It's also problematic that we've only got a little bit of time left here. I want to get as many callers on as we can. And Betty is next from Berkeley. Betty, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi. I just wanted to comment that it is completely hypocritical that the people with the means to never imagine themselves in a situation where they might have to use the restroom on a floor and in the city public sidewalk or find themselves unhoused are the same people who can all of a sudden pull out their wallets to protest programs that are forward-thinking that could give these people an opportunity. The problem is there already. Everyone sees it. San Francisco has a running joke that we have people living on the streets, using the restroom on the streets, using drugs on the streets. And the people who would complain about those things and the city becoming, you know, a proverbial, you know, excrement hole are the same people who are throwing their beans behind opposition rather than recognizing that housing and full service programs are what's going to help alleviate this issue. I in a city that is so rapidly becoming overrun by money.
Hi, Betty. I thank you. I think you've made your voice clear here, and I appreciate hearing from you. And I'm going to get to another caller because the time is short, and that's Susan. Susan, you're on.
Yes. My husband's office is near a navigational center. He had problems with the homeless weekly, camping out, needles, the whole business, before the navigational center was built. After it was built, the problem increased. And so he's having to move his office. He's having to leave his office in order to have safety and cleanliness for his employees himself. So that's my take on it.
All right. I appreciate your take. And here's Marina, who says, Mariana, who writes, Delancey Street is an exemplary neighbor in South Beach. Why not have them run the new services center? Let me get another caller on. That's you, Douglas. Thanks for waiting. You're on.
Good morning. I just want to say, you know, I've been in San Francisco for 28 years, and these problems have not been solved. And the same problems in San Diego, Los Angeles, and all throughout California, being the largest, you know, having the largest homeless population in the country. Why don't these cities band together and actually come up with a solution, create, you know, a Wonderville where they can, you know, people that need assistance to get back on their feet or need, you know, substance abuse treatment or whatever it is, they put them off-site someplace where it's a lot less expensive to live and provide the services and get them out of the most expensive cities in the country. You know, people are struggling to pay their living expenses and to say that, hey, we need to build more housing so that people that can't be, are not going to be functional in quite a while, I'm going to need to...
Right, Douglas, we got seconds left here, and I want Jennifer to address that because there has been a lot of work on that front from, I know,
yeah,
for years now.
I mean, it's important to point out that the overwhelming majority of homeless people became homeless as housed San Franciscans. They have community support. They have, you know, I mean, many people of color who are displaced from poor neighborhoods here in San Francisco, and we do not support pushing more people out, poor people out of town, as we, more, which is what we're already doing. We're pushing poor people out of town.
You get the last word here because we're out of time. There's a meeting, 6 p.m. today, I should mention, tonight.
Yes.
So please make note of that. And I thank both of you. Thanks to Jennifer Freidenbach, again, as Executive Director for the Coalition on Homelessness, and Wallace Lee, resident of San Francisco's South Beach neighborhood and a member of the Safe Embarcadero for All, the coalition that opposes the Navigation Center. When we return, Felicia Marcus is going to join us, former Water Board Chair, on lessons learned from, well, the drought and the water war. Stay tuned.